Well, good morning. Good to see everyone out here this morning. Good to be back with you this morning after being away last weekend. Last weekend, a couple of us went down to Martin, Kentucky, and we delivered our special Thanksgiving offering that we received. If you'll remember back at Thanksgiving time, we took up a special offering for a church that had been ordered to evacuate their property, and they were going just outside of town and purchasing a piece of property and rebuilding on higher ground, taking themselves out of the floodplain as they were commanded, and actually placing their building within sight of the four-lane highway, making their congregation much more visible to the folks down there traveling on State Route 80 in southeast Kentucky. And I truly believe this is going to be the beginning of a bright new chapter for that congregation that has chosen to continue reaching out into its community and continue bringing even more people to Jesus. And the Martin Church, they truly thank you for your offering and for your volunteer help that some of you have given. Many of them will be watching this service via podcast later on in the week, and I'd like for us to try to encourage them at this moment if we could. This is a congregation that could have just closed shop and quit and given up the ghost, but instead they took on the challenge and said, no, we're going to continue to build God's kingdom. It's going to take a little bit more effort because our building has been taken away from us. But the church never was the building, amen? The church was the people, and the people have decided to continue trying to reach their community. And so they're going to build a new church building. They're in process of building that. You're helping them build that. And instead of quitting, they took the challenge to continue their efforts in building the kingdom of Christ in the community where they live. Can we give them a hand for doing that, not closing up shop? Thank you very much. I do thank them for doing that. We're going to talk about building the kingdom this morning. There's many ways of doing that, and that's one way down that they're doing down in southeast Kentucky. But this morning is also Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we have a dozen or so parents and grandparents with us this morning who have brought their little ones, and they want to come and thank the Lord at this time for these little ones that the Lord has blessed them with over the last year. And this is their way of building the kingdom. They're asking for our prayers and our support in bringing these little ones to the Lord Jesus, reminding us that there's more than one way to build the kingdom. And you guys come right on across, if you would. We want to see all the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and all the little ones that the Lord has blessed them with here in the last year. And we're going to have prayer for each one of these after Jeff and Jody has had an opportunity to introduce each one to you here this morning. It's a beautiful sight to see, isn't it? Amen. To see all these little ones that the Lord has brought to us. I'm going to step back now. Jody, if you'll begin introducing these to us, I'll appreciate this.
Good morning. I have Morgan and Emmett here this morning.
We have a mom that's sick, but our next baby is little Grant, and Lauren and David are his parents. That's Diantha's grandson.
I have Megan, Derek, and Jackson.
Oh, pretty.
We have a family, Brittany and Kenny, and a little baby Colson.
I'm a little prejudiced with these ones. This is my grandson Jake and his wife Sierra and their baby Jackson.
This is an easy family for me to remember. This is Lauren and Cameron, and this is little Clay Chapman.
A little prejudice here. My grandson Vince, his wife Aubrey, and their little one Adeline, who just threw a duck at me. Seems appropriate.
This is Nathan and Kayla, and this is their son, Colson.
This is Grandma Jessica and Little River.
This is an easy family for me to remember, too. This is Mark and Megan and Little Willow.
Cute.
And Jackie Bretz and Jameson were going to be with us, but Jameson is not feeling well. This flu, guys, is awful. Pray for those with the flu.
You may or may not know these guys. This is Drew and Kelsey, and this is little baby Bodie.
And then another one that I'm sort of prejudiced of, this is my granddaughter, Alea. Her mom, Jessica, and dad, David, said I was crazy if I thought at 2 weeks I was going to let her come out, so...
And then one we knew was going to be missing today, but Bob and Sandra Stewart and little baby Layla, their first girl.
All right, let's give them all a hand. Thank the Lord for all these little ones. The Lord has certainly blessed our church in many, many ways, and this is obvious. This is the obvious, obvious way. And by the way, if any of you would like to help watch the nursery, it's right in the back corner of the building back there. Let's have prayer for all these little ones and thank the Lord for them. Could we this morning, Lord, what better way to honor the sanctity of life than to see the lives that you've brought into our lives and these little ones that you've gifted moms and dads and grandmas and granddads with here this morning. We are very truly blessed, and we want to show our appreciation to you because we believe all good and perfect gifts come from you, and this is such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But Lord, it's also a great, great responsibility, and we would pray, Lord, that you would enable these moms and dads and grandparents to raise these little ones in the way that you would have them go, and that this church would accept the responsibility of coming alongside and partnering with mom and dad and grandma and grandpa in making sure these little ones learn about Jesus and have the opportunity of coming to faith in Jesus themselves one day as well. All that will work with these little ones in the church, bless all those hands, keep everyone safe, and one day bring us all home to you forever in heaven. But on earth, Lord, we pray you'll protect each one of these and show us how we can surround them and protect them and bring them up in your way as well. Thank you for them this day. The beautiful sound of their voices, Lord. Thank you for each one of them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Give them one more hand, would you, this morning? Thank you, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. Thank you for the extra effort some of you had to give to make this happen this morning, but I can think of no better way of honoring life than thanking the Lord for these little lives that He's placed into our hands. What a joyous thing to go through. Kind of brings back memory, doesn't it, for some of us older ones, you know? It's great to be grandma and grandpa now and hold the little ones and give them back to mom and dad and send them back, but it is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to have. We're going to talk this morning about building the kingdom. That's what we've reserved this Sunday for. It's the fourth part of what we believe is the Lord's vision for the Licking Valley Church here, that His Licking Valley Church would become a place where people could begin to know Jesus in hopes that someday they would come to believe in Him and then become a more devoted follower of His, and finally join us in building His kingdom. That's what we're going to look at here this morning, and we're going to use two of the Lord's first disciples as our example of how we can do that. Andrew, if you listen to Cameron's scripture reading this morning, one of our new dads, Cameron reminded us that Andrew was one of those first disciples of Jesus, and the first thing he did was find his brother Peter and bring Peter to Jesus. And then Philip, another early disciple, who found Nathanael and brought Nathanael to Jesus. Did anyone notice all the looking and the finding and the bringing that was done in the scripture reading this morning? It's an obvious emphasis in John chapter 1. John the Baptist says, "Behold, idu," in the Greek, "look" is the word. "Look, the Lamb of God," John the Baptist says, and Andrew and another disciple, "look." And they find Jesus, and they follow him. And Jesus turns around, these two men following him. He says to them, "What do you fellows want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which was a term of respect back in those days, "where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." And they were so impressed with what they found that they stayed with Jesus the entire day. Andrew was so impressed that the first thing he did, Scripture says, is he went out and found his brother Peter. And he said, "We have found the Christ," which was the prophetic title of the one that the whole nation of Israel had been looking forward to for thousands and thousands of years. And he brought Peter to Jesus. The next day, the Scripture says, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said, "Follow me." And Philip was so impressed. The first thing Philip did was find Nathanael and said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote about." And Philip brought Nathanael to Christ. Now, I'm not saying this is the only way to build the kingdom of Christ, but it sure is the way that's being emphasized this morning. By looking and finding and bringing someone to Christ. You want to join others in building the kingdom? Here is a God-given scriptural way of doing it. Look around until you find somebody. There are people out there that need Jesus. Just look around until you find somebody. Now, we're going to give you a little help with that at the end of the service this morning. We've got a little tool to put in your hand to help you and remind you to look around and find somebody. Andrew went looking for his brother, and that's a possibility. Some of you have family members that need Jesus or used to be part of the kingdom and have kind of stepped aside from the kingdom, and they could easily be invited back. Andrew went looking for his brother Peter. It was the first person he thought of. He didn't have to look very far from the family tree. You know, he wanted to give his brother a chance of finding Jesus too. But Philip, we're told something different about Philip. Philip found a man named Nathanael, and we don't know that there's any kinship there at all. In fact, we are told, if you read the entire Gospel of John, we're told that Nathanael was from another town. In our text this morning, it says Philip was from Bethsaida, the same town as Peter and Andrew. But in John chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, we learn that Nathanael is not from that town. Nathanael is from Cana in Galilee. Now, why did Philip go searching for Nathanael? We're not told. We're told Andrew first went to his brother Peter. But we're told Philip found somebody from a completely different town. But it was the first man that came to his mind. And what I think this tells us is everybody's fair game. This makes everybody fair game. There's somebody out there from who knows where that needs Jesus, and you know him. Or you will know him, or you could know him. What you and I need to do is open up our eyes and look for them until we find them, because they are there. And I don't want to embarrass anyone here this morning, but we have dozens and dozens of people here this morning who are here solely because somebody went out looking for them, and they didn't stop until they found them. And then they invited them to come and check out Jesus for themselves. That's why you're here. Now, these finders, they didn't wait until they became expert at finding people. They just went out after finding Jesus for themselves. They went out and said, "We think we found the Christ," and they invited someone to come check Jesus out for themselves. It's a very evident scriptural pattern when you read the Gospels. In John chapter 4, we're told of a Samaritan woman who finds Jesus when she goes to draw water from a well. And she goes running back into town saying, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" This woman wasn't 100% certain herself. But even the possibility that Jesus could be that long-awaited Savior of the world was too great not to share with her town. And the Bible says the people of the town went out and they were coming to Jesus to check Jesus out for themselves. And it goes on to say many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." And after spending 2 days with Jesus themselves, the Bible says many more believed because of Jesus' words. All she did was invite them to come check Jesus out. Listening to Jesus convinced them he indeed was the Savior of the world. And they said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we've heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Folks, you don't have to wait. You don't need a Bible college education. As strange as it may sound, and this was strange when I put it on paper and I first looked at it myself and I read that, can that be right? As strange as this may sound, you don't even have to be 100% certain about Jesus yourself. You can say, "Let's check this Jesus thing out together. I don't know about this." There are people everywhere who need to check Jesus out. Look around until you find one. And then don't stop until you lead that person to Jesus. Your goal is not to win an argument. Your goal is to do what Andrew did for his brother. Your goal is to lead someone to Christ. That's all Andrew did for Peter. Except at that moment, nobody called him Peter yet. Up until that time, people called him Simon, because Simon was his name. Jesus was the one who called him Peter, or Cephas, which means the rock. Andrew simply brought his brother Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Cephas is Aramaic, Petros is Greek. Both mean the rock. You know, at that moment, Simon was anything but a rock. Before he met Christ, Simon was impulsive and unstable, weak as water, one commentator said. And yet Jesus said he would be a stone man. Another commentator said, "I think everybody laughed the day Jesus called Peter a rock." But Jesus wasn't calling Peter what he was. Jesus was calling Peter what he would become in Christ. A man that would stand up for Jesus and bring thousands to Jesus no matter who tried to stop him. Anyone who tried to stop Peter would find themselves running up against a rock wall. And that's why Jesus called Peter a rock. I wonder what Jesus would call your friend or my friend if we brought him or her to Christ. That's why you and I simply can't stop until we have led everyone that we can to Christ. There's just no telling what Christ might call them and who they might become in Jesus Christ. Look around until you find somebody, and then don't stop until you lead them to Christ. And then last, the Bible's equation says, leave them right there and let Jesus do the rest. Look around till you find somebody. Don't stop until you lead them to Jesus Christ. And then just leave them right there with Jesus and let Jesus do the rest. Now, this is what Philip did. It's an interesting example he leaves us, and I'm glad it's here. The Bible says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael jumped right on board and went running out to Jesus Christ, right? Is that what the Bible says? Not even close. The next verse says, Nathanael said to him, "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." Philip didn't try to argue with him, didn't quote scripture to him. Philip simply brought him to Jesus and left him with Jesus and let Jesus do the rest. And Nathanael ended up finding a surprise treasure in Jesus. I'm so happy that we have a lady in our church worshiping with us here this morning, because she leaves us a wonderful, wonderful example. We have a lady with us that's been with us for several months now, and she is really happy to be here. She loves this church. And she's so happy she's been telling people about her church. Recently, she was down at the Indian Mound Mall telling people about this great church that she found out on Dayton Road. And she was creating kind of a hubbub. She was so excited telling people about the church that she was so happy to have found. And there was a gentleman that saw kind of an excitement gathering, and so he went over to see what the hubbub was all about, and the lady was telling him how great the church was. And this man said, What church are you talking about? And this lady said, "Well, the Licking Valley Church of Christ out on Dayton Road." And this lady said, the man shrugged his shoulders and said, "I went there once. It's the biggest 2-hour waste of my life." And I just cut this lady to her heart. And she came to church and she told me that. She said, "That so bothered me. I didn't even know what to say to the man. And I can't get it out of my mind. I don't know what to do with that." That a church that she was so excited about and considered a treasure in her life, this man considered trash. And I told her to pray for the man, that for whatever reason, he might not be ready to hear a word from the Lord right now. Because what this lady had found was a great treasure, even though at this time in his life, the man considers it trash. It's a great illustration of that right now that's running around the internet, and you maybe saw it on TV. A certain man in a state up north found over $43,000 stuffed into an old lumpy couch ottoman. How many saw that story on the news? This ottoman had basically been thrown out with this old couch, and this man bought it secondhand for his man cave downstairs. Didn't need to look too good. It was just a place for him. But he got the surprise of his life last month when he found $43,000 stuffed inside the ottoman. He'd purchased that at a Habitat for Humanity restore. But the ottoman felt so uncomfortable He thought about throwing it out. His daughter noticed that there was a zipper on that ottoman and thought maybe she could straighten out some of the padding inside that ottoman. And when she unzipped that, stacks and stacks of $100 bills began falling out. $43,170 inside that couch. What someone had considered nearly trash contained that kind of treasure. The story didn't end there. That man, who did think about all the different ways he could spend that cash, he thought about the new roof for his house. He had some retirement dreams. He just didn't feel morally right, though, about keeping it to himself. So he went back to that store, and he went looking for the original owners until he found them. And he told them, and he gave back to them what he had found. Very much like Nathaniel, who found more than he could have imagined in this man from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? After Philip said, "Well, come and see," and Nathanael saw Jesus for himself, it's like the zipper was opened. And Nathanael spends the rest of his life as one of the 12 apostles trying to share Jesus, this treasure, with the rest of the world. That's what can be done when somebody looks around until they find somebody and doesn't stop until they lead that person to Jesus. And then they just leave that person with Jesus and let Jesus do the rest. And I'm wondering this morning, who'll be the next kingdom builder? Who'll be the next person here to take up this challenge and discover how many people you can actually bring to Jesus in a single lifetime? Who'll be the next person to discover just what kind of a builder you can be for His kingdom? That's our vision for this place. Can you see it? How many see clearly 2020, the vision Christ has for this church, that this church would be a place where people can begin? You could bring people here to just begin to know about Jesus in hopes that one day they will come to believe. And over time, become a better and better follower of Christ. And in the end, join us in building His kingdom. Building it by finding somebody and bringing them to Jesus and letting them begin in hopes that they will come to believe. Become a better follower and a builder so that they will bring someone and let them begin and believe and become and build. And the cycle continues over and over again. Let's stand. Let's pray that someone will pick up the challenge. Thank you. Lord God, we live in a day and age where often this very example that you have set before us in your word is frowned upon. A culture that somehow considers bringing someone to faith in Christ as some sort of proselytizing, invading another's personal space. And yet, when our world finds all kinds of other treasures, they can't wait to share it with other people. In fact, we look at people who find a treasure and keep it to themselves. We look at it as hoarding and not sharing. Here we have found your son Jesus, the greatest treasure ever given from heaven. How can we not share with others who have not yet found the treasure of Jesus as we have? Help us do it in kindness, but help us to do it. Help us to have an unease about us to where we just can't keep this good news to ourselves. Open our eyes that we would truly begin looking around until we find somebody and invite somebody and bring somebody to Jesus. And then leave them with Jesus to work on their hearts. Lord, if there are people here this morning that Jesus is working on, we pray your Spirit this morning would lead them to such faith that they would want to become totally dedicated followers. They'd want to enter into this kingdom building business with us. And we pray your son Jesus would receive the praise that one day your scripture says he'll have in heaven, when multitudes upon multitudes that cannot be counted will surround the throne from every tribe, every nation, every language, praising him who died for our sin, that we could be forgiven. May someone come to join that band here this morning. Maybe on their way out, Lord, they could stop by the beginning point and talk to someone out there about how they could become followers of Jesus. Maybe someone will take one of these cards that we'll give them in just a moment, and they'll begin praying for someone else like someone else had in times past prayed for them. And they'll gather the courage to invite someone to come and begin. That's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray it. God's people say it.